Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to OPM Live, where the ordinary is the extraordinary. I am your host, Verna V. Nickelberry. I know you guys have been missing me, missing the radio station. We took some time off to, you know, to just take a break and gather ourselves. But today on the line, we have with us Ms. Joyce Cowles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. She's also a national speaker, a trainer, author, as well as a Blog Talk Radio host as well. Now we have with us Ms. Joyce Cowles. And how are you today, ma'am?
I am wonderful. I am wonderful. Thank you so very much for having me on the show. I truly appreciate it.
It is definitely our pleasure. So if you don't mind sharing with our listening audience a little bit about yourself, what you have going on, and especially about this month of April. So you can do that at this time.
Okay. Well, thank you so much again. I appreciate the opportunity, as always, to be able to share with your listening audience. This is my second time on the show, so I'm excited to be a return guest. So that in itself is a privilege for me. As you stated, I am the executive director of Walking Into a New Life Incorporated, and our mission is to stop domestic violence and help stabilize victims through a series of projects, programs, and initiatives that we host throughout the year. Most of what we do is absolutely free. We've had a couple of events where they've been of cost, but usually no more than $5 to $10. A lot of times it's really in an effort to just ensure that we can cover the cost for the food or the venue, things of that nature. The idea is to make sure that our attendees do not have to incur any expenses when it comes to the services and opportunities that we provide. We do things such as Pampering Support Day, which we host quarterly. We have a event that we host on behalf of women to honor women in the community who are survivors as well as single moms. We also have an event that we honor men in the community. We do that every November, and we host our women's event every May. And, you know, those are just a few of the things that we do. Right now, we're on a campaign to raise funds for flex cards, because a lot of times our survivors, when they're transitioning out, they need funds for additional services, maybe just to pick up prescriptions, maybe gas, extra, you know, knickknacks here and there, maybe lunch money for the children. You know, just those flex cards give an opportunity for them to be able to take care of expenses while they're transitioning. So that's very important to us. One of the other things that we do that we're doing right now is collecting cell phones. So for those of you who are listening who may have old chargers, cell phones, batteries, accessories, even it doesn't matter if they match, it doesn't matter if the screen is broken, it doesn't matter how old it is, so it can be the Galaxy 7 or it can be a flip phone. It doesn't matter. All of those products are cleaned, refurbished, reprogrammed, and given to victims and survivors of abuse. Again, trying to provide another tangible resource to those who may be in need and as you know, communication is so important. And so having that opportunity to be able to give back in those areas means a lot. Now, specifically this month is nationally recognized as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And I am a survivor of domestic violence, and I'm also a survivor of sexual assault. So this month has personal meaning for me as well. Ironically, Verna, I want to share that April 10th was my first time ever speaking about my experiences with domestic violence and sexual assault. So I'm actually coming up on my anniversary. April 10th will make 7 years since the first time I spoke about my experiences. So it's always bittersweet for me.
Yes, I was there and had an opportunity to listen to you, and very, very powerful. I mean, hats off to you for being able to share such a, I want to say, intimate or time that happened in your life. Most people are not that courageous to share, and my hat really goes off to you for being able to do that and do it with dignity and grace. So, yes, my hat's off to you, Ms. Cowell.
Thank you so very much. And you know what? When you said that, it made me realize you were there. I didn't even think about that. So, you know, I always say God makes no mistakes, and his timing is always perfect. And you getting back into the groove of the show and me being your guest at this time, it just couldn't have been more perfect. And it was not planned in this way. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that. For those who may not be aware of what sexual assault is, I want people to really understand that it is, let me say it this way, that it is a major public health, human rights, and social justice issue. And 1 in 5 women will be affected by sexual assault in some shape, form, or fashion in their lifetime, and that's nationally. And men can be affected by sexual assault just as well as women. And when we talk about that in sexual abuse, it's not just about rape. And that's one of the most important things that I really want to leave with your listening audience. It's not just rape. It's anything that has to do with sodomy, abuse, coercion. A person has made you feel that in order to get ahead in a position, you'd have to sleep with them or perform some sort of oral, anal, vaginal act that is considered assault, that is considered sexual abuse. So I don't want people to just think that it's strictly strictly about rape, because it's not. And so many times we have individuals who will use sex and sex acts as a means of coercing others to do things that they don't want to do. In my case, it was rape, and it was rape at the hands of my husband. So I want people to understand that in a relationship, being married, it does not give the right, if you will, for sex. No is no, and you have the right to say no because it is your body and it is your choice. And anything that you're being made to do outside of what you consent to do is considered abuse. And I really want people to take away from this that they don't need to feel like because they are in an intimate relationship with someone that it gives them the right to say, you have to sleep with me, you have to have sex with me, you have to perform certain sexual acts, because you don't. And I think a lot of times it has been my experience in dealing with victims and survivors who have gone through sexual assault, that they didn't recognize that it was abuse because they were in a relationship. They are married, and they felt that it's you know, it's part of their obligation, and it certainly is not.
Because that's how we're taught, that it is your marital duty. And I think that most times, you know, we would have to get out of that mindset, so to speak, because, you know, it is definitely ingrained. It's definitely ingrained, especially, I would say, with older women. I'm not sure if the same thing is being taught to the younger women, but it is definitely ingrained in the minds of older women. It is your marital duty. So what would you say? You say no is no, but how do you get a victim or someone that's being victimized that is married to not think or to change their mindset about the whole thing?
You know, education and awareness is key, and it has to be followed up with action. I am very big on finding ways to not just tell people about things, but how to go about making sure that they have some tangible resource that they can connect to. And so I think more awareness has to, and education has to be done in our communities, in our churches. And I'm not going to stay on the religious sector too long, but I do feel that it is important that we share that a lot of times, you know, and whether it's intentional or unintentional, we have people in the pulpit who aren't educated about it, and they're not educated about domestic violence and what that looks like and the different types, the different forms. We just still have this misconception that, and this is across the board, that rape is about some man jumping out from the bushes late at night while some woman is walking down the street with a high skirt and high heels and low-cut blouse. And that is so not the case. And specifically in our churches, our synagogues, our mosques, we are not educating our congregation. We're just not educating them enough. And some of it is, you know, just lack of knowledge, and so they don't know what to say or how to say. And then sadly, some of it is because they're committing it themselves. And they don't want that information exposed or shared. And I can, you know, I can say that and say it comfortably because I have advocates in my field whose abusers were actually, you know, pastors and ministers. And, you know, at least one of them is still in the pulpit. And it's known that this is what, you know, what he's done. So, number one, we have to educate and make people aware. And number two, there's an accountability and responsibility that if you know someone who's in a political office or overseer, you know, at the church or the pastor or the deacon or what have you, and you allow those individuals to stay in office, you allow them to continue to pastor, you know, then there's a certain accountability and responsibility that we have, too. We have the right to remove those people because what we're saying to, you know, for me, what that's saying to a person who is being victimized is that it's okay, it's acceptable that these authority figures can do this and can get away with it. So if they can do it, then who am I? You know, I'm just a guest at the church, or I'm just a guest at this community rally. We have to be accountable, responsible, make others be accountable and responsible. We've got to educate our communities about the different types of abuse, the different types of what it means to be assaulted, and understand that there are many forms to it. And then if there is someone who comes to us and says, you know what, I think this is me, this sounds like me, I need some help, at that point, then we have to be able to direct them to places like the Rape Crisis Center here in Memphis, for instance. I advise people to call their national hotline and find out who their local agencies may be if you don't know. There's a 800 hotline. You can call it and get your local numbers. But for the purposes of Memphis, Tennessee, certainly you can reach out to us so that we can connect you to the Family Safety Center, because we are a partner with the Family Safety Center, and the Family Safety Center, one of their partners is the Rape Crisis Center, and they offer counseling. You know, there's orders of protection that you can get, several different services that are available, but certainly becoming aware that you are being abused in some way, you're being coerced in some way. And sexual, you know, sexual assault can be anything from something being physically said or done to, you know, making me sit in, for instance, I'm sitting and being forced to watch pornographic movies and materials and perform those acts that I see. You know, people don't think about, well, we're sitting here and we're watching porn. Well, that's really not a sexually abusive deal, but it is if you're being forced to do it. So, again, it's all about power, control, coercion, being forced. If you're being forced to do it, then it's time for you to start exploring what options do I have that I can take to remove myself from an unhealthy environment.
You know, I think it takes a lot of courage. I think what in my experiences, it takes a person that's really wanting to empower, or that strength they need to get away. It takes that, you know, it's really about, can I do this? Will he or she find me? It's getting, you know, encouraging yourself, if I can say that, that yes, you can, you know, once that mindset has changed, but it's such a, it's hard for me to explain what I'm trying to say, but you know what I mean.
It's much easier, yes, because it's much easier said than done, and that's something else that people do not understand. We have a society of people who will look at a person who is being victimized, and we will say, you know, I can't believe that she's allowing this to happen to her. I can't believe that he isn't being man enough. You know, one of the survivors who is a male, I'm sure he doesn't mind me sharing his name or his story, because the time that he really shared it publicly was at an event that he hosted for us. And I had no idea to the extent of what he had gone through, but it was so powerful because, right, I could relate to so much of what he was saying. The difference was it was a man. And the biggest issue that he had is when he would report it, the police would tell him, you can't control your woman? You can't control that situation? You know, so there's a stigma where the men are concerned. That we have men that are raped, we have men that are sexually abused, we have men that are physically abused, you know, domestic violence occurs with them. So there's a stigma that is attached to all of that, and we as a society do it, so it makes it more difficult to have the courage to say, I need to get out. What do I do? How do I get started? Where do I go for help? It takes a lot to do that, and some of it is the mindset of shame and guilt, embarrassment. We don't want to have to tell people that, you know, we're going through this. We don't want to tell somebody that we're being forced to perform certain sex acts. We don't want to tell somebody that, you know, in order for me to be able to sleep at night, I've got to have sex with my husband. And I may physically not be in a position to do that. I may, in my health, may be compromised because of it. Wearing contraception, you know, and I don't want to get pregnant. I don't want to have children. And being forced to engage in sexual activity and not protect, be, and it's unprotected. You know, these are things that people don't think about. And yet, this is what a person who is being victimized has to think about on a regular basis. And that mindset is difficult to turn around. It just is. The best example that I try to give to people is I will share, you know how when you're small and you have a grandbaby, and we tell the grandbabies mm-hmm. how cute they are, how handsome they are, how charming they are, you know, and, oh, you did so good, and they clap. It makes them smile. It makes them laugh. It gives them confidence. They'll do whatever little trick they did, they'll do it again because they know that they're going to get, you know, that approval from you. It's the same way with a person who's being victimized. If you're always telling that person you're fat, you're ugly, you're too dark, you're too light, nobody's going to want you, and now we're talking about adults. So, you know, you hear it enough times, and you're hearing it from someone that you believe loves you and cares about you. And it's like, wow, this person who supposedly loves me that I, in return, love them, this is how he or she feels about me. This is what he or she says to me. And you hear it so much, you start to believe it. You start to carry yourself in that manner. You feel like you're not worth saying no. And so you accept those abuses. You accept the idea of sleeping with someone or several someones. Unfortunately, you know, I've encountered individuals who have had to sleep with, you know, their partner and their friend's partners too. Because they were just coerced into believing this is all they had. And who are you going to tell that to? You're too embarrassed to say anything. But we have to get past the embarrassment, get past the hurt, get past the emotional ties that we have with those individuals and have the courage enough to say, I can't do this anymore. I've got to get out. But that takes education. It takes awareness. It takes in getting yourself into different circles of people, reading different books, going to different places. You know, you may need to change churches. You may need to change, you know, I know in this economy, changing jobs is not always the easiest thing, but you may have to change your job. You may have to relocate. And the saddest part of all of that, front too much of, the, you know, redo their lives. It's the victims that
and
have to make all of these decisions. It is.
Yes.
It is.
It's very unfortunate. Ms. Cowles, it is definitely, Mrs. Cowles, should I say, it's definitely been our pleasure having you on OPM Live Block Talk Radio. And since this month is deemed as Sexual Assault Month, we definitely got to have you back before the month is over because I am enjoying the conversation, and I'm sure our listening audience is too. So if you don't mind, share with our listening audience how they can connect with you, how they can contact you, and just whatever information you want to share at this time, and also just a quick word of wisdom. We have
okay.
A few minutes for that.
All right, I will share it quickly and say what needs to be said very very quickly. I can be reached at wianl.org. That is our organization's website. wianl.org. Our phone number is 901-466-6182. Our email is info@wianl.org. And we are on Facebook, so please join our fan page at Walking Into a New Life, Inc. So you can find us there, the website, our phone number again, 901-466-6182, and the email is info@wianl.org. And just the last point that I would want to leave with regard to sexual assault is letting people know that you are not alone. You are not by yourself. There is help. There are resources. I know sometimes the resources seem very few, and they are. I'm not going to lie to you. But I will tell you that they are out there, and some of them are free. It's all in a matter of knowing. For instance, most people didn't realize that, or a lot of people, I should say, didn't realize that you could go to the Rape Crisis Center for counseling. That's not a service that you have to pay for. We have a Rape Crisis Center where if you have been, if you are a victim of rape, you can go there and actually see a nurse and go through that process. you can actually file a police report. So just know that you are not by yourself, and I'm so glad that you were there to hear me share for the very first time about my experiences, because that was a hard thing to do, particularly the environment that we were in, because it was a conference, a women's conference, and mm-hmm. nobody expected me to give that type of presentation. But I did it on purpose that way. I did it for the purpose of shock and awe to them, because I really wanted people to understand what my experiences were in spite of me being the conference chairperson. You know, this mm-hmm. has been my life. And so I want people to hear me and be encouraged, to be inspired, to know that I have gone from being a person who was a victim of domestic violence, a victim of sexual assault, who was homeless at one point, became a single parent, lost my job, and had to deal with a lot of emotional issues that were associated with sexual assault. And it continues to be the single most traumatic experience of my life, because of everything that happened before the assault and everything that happened or the assault. It is still something that I still go and get counseling for from time to time to this day. So I'm going to encourage people to understand that you can heal, but you also, when you start to feel yourself going back, reach out to someone else, get that support, have a good support system in place. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. You are not alone. It's 1 in 5 nationally. So that means that there is someone like you who has gone through what you may be going through now or what you already have. It just takes you putting forth just a little bit of effort and faith and trusting someone with that information and letting them help you to heal. So with that, I thank you so much for the opportunity. And yes, I would absolutely love to be able to come back and talk a little more in-depth about sexual assault and some other things that people can do. And also, really quickly, if it's okay to mention, if you are in Memphis, Tennessee, on the 8th, which is this Friday, there is a candlelight visual in honor of sexual assault victims and survivors. It's from 6 to 7 at the Rape Crisis Center is the one who's hosting it. The information will be on our fan page at Walking Into a New Life. We would love to have you come. I am part of that program. So please come out and join us. It is absolutely free.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Cowan. I definitely appreciate you being on the show, sharing us all of the information you shared, and even talking about your own personal experience. We appreciate you, and I appreciate you for each and everything that you do within the community, that you do nationally, and that, you know, that you just do. I appreciate you so much, and I'm sure all of the community and those that's in your community appreciate it as well. And once again, thank you so much for being a part of OPM Live Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
Okay. Have a great day. This has been OPM Live Blog Talk Radio, where the ordinary is the extraordinary. I am your host, Verna V. Nickelberry, and as always, love, peace, and increase. Until next time, be blessed.